And Mark MCD's Dr. Chemical. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
G'day, Jenny.
Going to talk about other things other than stains today.
Anything involving chemistry, and I'm on it.
You surprise me. You're a wealth of knowledge, aren't you? Well, I think Jane's got a problem. We'll have a listen to that. Are you there, Jane?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for waiting, Jane. Go ahead.
That's fine. No, well, perhaps I've rung on the right day.
No, you're right.
I've got a problem in the cupboard that there was some mould on the bathroom wall, and it's left a bad smell in the cupboard. Is there anything I can do to get rid of that smell?
Yeah, just wipe
mold,
it with
mould.
Yeah, just wipe it with metho. Oh. So just buy some metho from the hardware store, put a generous amount on the rag, and just rub everything in sight.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That's cheap.
Yeah, cheap and easy.
Is that all right, Jane?
Yes, I just don't know how I'm going to get into the cupboard, though. It's a bit awkward.
Well, we could pop around and do it for you if you like, Jane.
Well, if you want, you can put it in a spray bottle.
That's a better idea.
Yeah,
spray bottle. Yeah. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
So just one of those generic spray bottles that you buy from the hardware store, and just fill it with metho and just squirt it everywhere.
Yeah. There you go, Jane.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That's a great help.
That's a pleasure. Bye-bye. Kim, another call. Afternoon to you. Hello, Kim.
Oh, hello.
Yes, Kim, go ahead.
Yes, I have a toilet that has like that scale growing in it.
We can't quite understand you. Sorry, Kim, you're a little bit muffled. Can you speak a little bit closer to the phone, perhaps?
How's that?
That's a little bit better.
Okay, I have some speaker. Yes, I have a toilet and it's got that scale in it, you know, that you almost need a jackhammer to get it off. I was just wondering if there was, something that I can use to get that off.
Okay, so where is the scale and what colour is it? Is it running down the back of the sort of cistern?
No, it's like right down in the base part, and it's like a dark brown.
Okay, yep.
It's not rust.
Right. All right. The best bathroom cleaner on the market is one of the old. Sorry, the best toilet cleaner on the market is one of the oldest ones. It's the Harpic Crystals. It's in a blue bottle, and you just tip the crystals in, and you'll see it fizz and foam. Just leave it for a few hours.
And don't sit on the toilet at the same time.
That's right. And then just leave it for a few hours, and then flush, and that should get most of it.
You don't have to scrub.
No,
okay.
No.
Okay.
Now, the sledgehammer approach. If that doesn't work, you can use caustic soda. So just get some caustic soda, tip it down.
Powder?
Flakes.
Flakes, okay.
You get the flakes from the hardware store, just tip, say, a couple of cupfuls down, leave it for a few hours and flush, and that should take care of it.
Okay. I've been putting those things, you know, that whiten false teeth. I've been chucking a couple of them in every night, and it's kind of eating away at it, but very slowly. So.
Yeah, that's. I think they use peroxide. Now, that will work, but it's a pretty slow process because it's just not strong enough.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay, good on you, Kim.
The Harpic Crystals. Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much for that. Okay, now let's talk about something else chemical.
Yep.
Okay, what is it?
Tooth decay.
Okay.
The chemistry of tooth decay is not well understood. Now, whenever this topic comes up, people talk about the acidity in drinks. So the acidity in, say, soft drinks or fruit juice. And yes, they are acidic, mildly. Fruit juice contains citric acid. And Coke, for example, contains phosphoric acid. Now, they're both acidic, but they aren't acidic enough to attack teeth. Because teeth are composed of calcium phosphate, which is quite resilient to those kind of acids. Because they just aren't strong enough acids. The problem is sugar. Now, that should come as no surprise to anyone. We know that sugary drinks cause tooth decay.
Yeah.
But the mechanism isn't well understood. Here's how it works. If you don't clean your teeth, you get plaque buildup.
Mm-hmm.
And plaque's made of protein. The sugar embeds in the plaque. Now, anyone that's been to a gym will know that if you exercise a lot, you get lactic acid in your muscles. Lactic acid is a breakdown product of sugar. It's an anaerobic breakdown product.
Right.
Now, in your teeth, the same thing happens. The bacteria convert the sugar to lactic acid. and that is a stronger acid than both citric acid and phosphoric acid.
Right.
And that is what decays your teeth.
So the suggestion is keep your teeth
simply
clean.
Simply brush your teeth. But here's something that will surprise you. The worst drink for tooth decay isn't Coke, isn't sugary drinks, it's milk.
Oh, goodness.
And here's why. People think milk isn't high in sugar because it doesn't taste sweet. But it actually is fairly high.
Lactose, isn't it?
Correct. It's about 5% sugar.
Yeah.
It doesn't taste sweet because the sugar in it is lactose.
Right.
As you said. And, of course, lactose is very close to lactic acid.
Mm.
So the chemical pathway from lactose to lactic acid is a pretty short one. And on top of that, because milk contains proteins, it promotes the addition of plaque. Because the protein in milk helps form plaque. So if you drink a lot of milk and don't clean your teeth, you get plaque on your teeth full of lactose.
Yeah.
Lactose gets converted to lactic acid, which corrodes your teeth.
Okay.
So, I'm not saying don't drink milk.
Gee, that is complicated, isn't
milk,
it?
What? Milk's very good for you.
It's trying to get children to have it more.
Yeah, calcium, protein, and a whole lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
Just make sure you clean your teeth.
How about if they drank it through a straw?
That would help.
Not a plastic, a paper one.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that because would help. It bypasses the teeth.
Bypass your teeth. Excellent thinking.
With any other drink that has sugar in it too, that would be a good idea.
Exactly. That's right.
Okay. Gee, that is interesting, isn't it? Yep. Because what about food causing decay? I guess sweets with sugar is going to do it.
Sweets in general.
Okay. So, see, the thing is, the trouble is when people have something sweet in their mouth, they don't want to put toothpaste in there afterward. They're enjoying it.
Yep.
They're enjoying the sweetness of the taste, so they don't want to get rid of it.
And this came up for me because last week my 7-year-old son had to go to a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a massive hole in his tooth so bad it requires a root canal.
Ooh.
At the age of 7.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
It is. Now, he drinks an awful lot of milk, which I've always encouraged. So I think that's the reason.
Wow.
Now, he does clean his teeth, but that is his mum does. Yeah. But I've told his mum she needs to teach him how to do it properly with an electric toothbrush.
Yeah, but after, like I said, even after a glass of milk, the kids aren't going to run to the bathroom to clean their teeth. So give them a paper straw.
Yep.
Good idea.
Yep. Good
okay.
Thinking, good thinking, 99.
Miss Scientist, who we got now? We've got Willie. Hello, Willie.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
G'day, Willie.
I have a question. Because it's the lactic acid that does the damage, why don't dentists recommend that you flush your mouth out with a solution of bicarb of soda to instantly neutralize the acid? I've never heard of that being recommended.
Well, yeah, that's a very good point. Toothpaste contains bicarb for this exact reason. It neutralizes the acids in your teeth. But a cheap and cheerful way to make toothpaste is to get bicarb soda, make it up as a paste, and use that.
With water.
Yeah, with water.
Yeah.
Now, it'll work. It doesn't taste very nice, but it's good for your teeth. And it will neutralize any acids in there.
Okay.
Definitely.
I'm cynical about dentists. I think they don't tell you because they actually want you to come back for more.
Well,
could be a bit of that.
Well, you won't get any argument from me on that. I just don't understand why dentistry costs so much.
It is expensive. You are not kidding.
Yeah, I've been to Bali for it.
Yeah, a lot too.
Yeah.
Thanks, Willie.
Yep.
Bye now. Willie or won't he? Yeah, but, well, this is the thing. The dentists here, of course, are a bit against that for obvious reasons.
Yes,
they're losing
right.
business, number one. And secondly,
exactly.
they say if anything goes wrong, they can't. But it's so much cheaper. Well, the labour's cheaper up there.
I mean,
that's obviously why.
Yeah. And you do your research. And this is such a big industry now that there are companies that act as mediators. So they'll organise the dentist and accommodation for you.
Oh, up there. Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah, and they'll organise the whole bit.
Yeah, they do KL, I think, as well. And
do
countries
they?
Like this. Oh, yeah, they've got huge clinics up there for all sorts of other reasons, not just dentistry as well.
Well, I did my research and I picked the surgery that had an overseas trained dentist.
Yeah, they're very qualified.
Yeah, yeah. And
so you've had no trouble?
No. And the quality of work that I got, it was at least as good as Australia, if not better.
There you go.
And literally a quarter of the price.
Oh, our dentists won't like hearing
Although
that.
The funny thing is, with the exchange rate, $100 in 100 Australian dollars with the $10,000 rupee exchange rate, comes out to a million rupiah.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, when you see the word, when you see a million on the cash register that, that you're signing your name to,
I know,
it gives you cause to think about things a bit. Now, I just have to do the maths. Is this number right?
Only on your first trip. You get used to it after that.
That's right.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Now, anyone has any concerns with, well, like we were just talking about just then, they might have a comment on it as well, or a question on your teeth and how you can protect them, or stains. Now, a powdered eyeshadow, pink in colour, on a wall carpet, a small amount.
Yeah. Okay. That's mostly requires physical removal.
Yeah.
So there are some very good foam cleaners. So, so you're looking for a foam cleaner.
Like a carpet foam cleaner?
A carpet foam cleaner.
Ah, yes.
Now, the way they work is you spray it on and it all foams up. The foam actually lifts the stain out of the carpet physically.
Okay.
And as you rub in, the foam just gets in there and physically removes it.
So you are to rub it as well into the middle.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Preen Vanish make a very good one.
Preen Vanish?
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's a very good carpet foam.
Preen Vanish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm not asking for this for personal reasons, of course.
Right.
Like a granddaughter, 20 years of age.
Okay.
Pre-advantage. Yeah. Okay, I'll do that. Anyone else? Okay, 94841927. We had a call come through from Ken in Pinjarra, 70 years of age. When he was at school, he was taught that milk was good not for human consumption, only for calves.
Well,
that's one way of looking at it.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, one of the questions I've often asked myself is, who was the first person who thought?
I have two.
Yes, right.
That's a good idea.
That's right.
You can see a calf suckling on that, and you think, I should try that.
That's right. Exactly.
It's also with oysters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know why people eat them.
The fresh oysters, I can't either, natural. Man. People love them.
How do you eat
and who
that
thought
stuff?
When they picked them up out of the ocean, they opened up the shell and thought, that looks good.
Yep. And it's not just that, it's a lot of chemicals, particularly explosives. Most explosives were discovered accidentally, literally. Now, ammonium nitrate was originally developed as a fertilizer, which is very good as a fertilizer. People didn't know it was explosive.
No.
And there was an explosion in Germany in the 1920 or something, where it was stacked in a warehouse and it had all caked together. So they got in there with some chisels to try and break it up.
Good move.
And it exploded. And they didn't know why it had happened.
Wow.
And it wasn't until 1926, I think, if you want to look at some spectacular photographs, one of the biggest industrial accidents ever, the Texas City disaster, 1926.
Yeah.
Two ships full of ammonium nitrate came in. One of them caught fire. The firefighters went in there to try and put the fire out, not knowing how explosive it was.
Mm.
When it exploded, the explosion was so big, they don't know how many people were killed, but there's a photograph of a fire truck embedded in the side of a building.
Oh, my God.
Two stories up.
What?
Yeah, because they didn't know that ammonium nitrate was explosive.
I'm glad we've worked it out, though.
Absolutely.
So we're a bit more careful now?
Absolutely.
Okay, gosh. We should take you with us everywhere so that you'll warn us about these things. Hello, Jane.
Yeah, hi. Look, I just wanted to report back. I've asked before on how to get rid of the stain in my washing machine around the rubber, the door. And I found the best thing that works is the Vanish powder that I use on my clothes for stains.
Interesting.
Okay. I've tried everything else, but that worked. So just thought someone else might be interested.
That's a good idea. Now that's an oxidizer. And oxidizers have got pretty good general purpose use. So, that's entirely believable.
So, got rid of what sort of a stain was it, Jane?
Oh, it's just from where the water lies, I think, in the rubber part of the washing machine.
So it's like a mold, a bit of a mold stain?
It's just a black.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Stain. Yep.
Oh, so it's the vanish you use to get rid of stains before you put it in the wash. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly, yeah. I leave it in there overnight.
Oh, okay. See, double use.
Yep. Well,
good on you.
The chemical in that is sodium perborate, which is an oxidizer.
Yeah.
And oxidation is kind of the sledgehammer approach to stain removal.
Yep.
That's how bleach works.
Yeah.
You know, people think bleach can get anything out. It can't. But what it does get out, it does by oxidation. It just literally smashes the molecule to bits.
The colour. But didn't you say one bit once before it just takes the colour out of mould?
Yeah, because all you need to do is change the molecule a bit and the colour changes.
Yeah.
And we see this with pH indicators.
But the mould's still there, but it's invisible.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you, Jane, for sharing that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Tony, good afternoon.
Jenny, good afternoon to you.
Yes,
and also to Dr. Chemicals.
Yes,
look, this is an old chestnut. Red wine on a chair that is covered with cloth or food stains that you may get on the arms of a chair that's covered with cloth. What's the best cleaner to use for that?
Well, that's an oxidizer you want for that. So get some Preen Vanish Oxyaction. So it's in a pink spray pack. So Preen Vanish Oxy Action. Now, there's about three or four different brands of Preen Vanish now. You want the Oxy Action. And they've got a new formula out that actually contains hydrogen peroxide. So you just spray that on and leave it. Don't rub it. Don't do anything. Just spray it and leave it. And that will oxidize the red wine.
Lift it out or?
No, it just destroys it.
Oh, it just completely gets rid of it?
It destroys the colour.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, the colour will go.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's what we were saying before.
Yeah.
Any molecule that has a colour, it's got a certain chemical structure.
Yep.
The colour is dependent upon that structure. Mm. Change the structure even a bit and the colour changes or disappears.
Okay. And don't dribble anymore, Tony.
No. Okay, so just to repeat that, I need an OxyAction, and you said Preen is one, is it?
Yeah, so there's different brands of OxyAction. Sard make one too, the Preen one I found is the best.
So you look on the label for OxyAction?
Right. Yep.
Read the label.
Yep.
And what has to be there? OxyAction.
That's right.
Okay, have you got that?
I promise I won't dribble anymore.
No, don't spill the wine. It's too nice.
You're quite right.
See you.
Thank you.
Bye, Tony. Bye-bye. Thank you. Who do we have? We have got Miranda. Good afternoon, Miranda.
Oh, hello, Jenny, and hello, Mark.
Mark.
That's right. I have my radio turned off, so I haven't been listening to the previous call. So I'm sorry if this is on the same vein.
That's all right.
I have got some permanent marker on an Axminster carpet that was gifted to me, and I wanted to know if you have a solution for me, please.
Yep, acetone.
So
you buy acetone from the hardware store, and just put something on a rag and just blot it.
Now, with a rag.
Yeah, so blot the rag onto the mark. At first, it will smear. So it'll start to dissolve and it will smear a bit. So then you've just got to keep blotting more. Keep blotting more and eventually it'll all come up into the rag.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Sounds fantastic.
Acetone.
Oh, thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
May I have one more question, please?
Sure.
I was wanting to upcycle these recycled brass lamps that I've bought, and they're really, really badly tarnished. And I've tried it with Brasso and it's... You know, 5 minutes and I've made nothing.
No not change.
Not change at all.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty serious because Brasso is the best metal polish in existence, period. If that doesn't work, then all I can suggest is that you go to the hardware store and get some wet and dry abrasive paper, specifically wet and dry, not sandpaper, not garnet paper, wet and dry, so it's black paper. Get the finest grade they have, which I think is 1200 grade, and rub it with that. So rub it with water. That is the next level up in terms of abrasiveness. Either that, I've just had another idea, go to an automotive store and get some cutting compound.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they come in numbers, so number 1, 2, and 3. The bigger the number, the stronger the cutting compound. So get some number 3 cutting compound. A good brand is Kitten, but there are other brands, and just try that. So that will be more abrasive than the Brasso. So try that first. If that doesn't work, try the wet and dry.
Yeah, good idea.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Miranda.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Bev.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi there.
My question what is the best way to clean the inside of an electric kettle?
Okay, any acid will do. So you can use vinegar.
Right.
Pure vinegar?
Yeah, pure vinegar. Or you could use Ajax spray and wipe, which contains lactic acid, which will be a bit stronger.
And how do you get rid of that taste of it?
It'll just rinse it out.
Is that enough?
Yeah.
You won't be drinking it.
Yeah, but the vinegar will work because the vinegar is acetic acid.
Okay.
And that will dissolve the...
Let it sit there for a while?
Yeah.
Just spray inside. Don't fill it with vinegar?
Oh, there's no reason that you can't fill it.
Oh, okay.
So just buy some cheap vinegar from Coles.
Yeah.
Just the cheap white vinegar.
Yep.
And just fill
it. Pour it in the kettle and leave it there for a day.
Pour it in and leave it there for a couple of hours.
Oh, okay.
Plenty.
All right, there you go, Ben.
Or even maybe overnight just to be on the safe side.
Hmm.
And that'll rinse out, no problem.
What do you reckon?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bev. Good luck on that one. We don't want vinegar coffee, do we?
No.
Eileen, good afternoon.
Hi, Jen. Hi, Dr. Kemi Ford.
Hi, Bev.
Eileen.
I was just listening to the lady about her kettle. Another easy one is if you have lots of lemons, you just cut up the lemon and put it in your kettle with some water and you just boil it, you know, for once or twice.
Oh.
Yep. And it comes out, because I've got a see-through glass kettle and the base you can see when it's, you know, yucky.
Yeah.
And so, the thing is, lemons are, you know, so much now, you know, you can just put some lemons cut
great.
Up and
drink.
Yeah, that's...
And you just boil the kettle, so rather than, anything else.
That sounds great.
That's a good idea because obviously lemon contains citric acid.
Yeah.
Citric acid is stronger than vinegar. It comes down to numbers. So the citric acid is a stronger acid than vinegar. Yeah, so certainly that will work.
Yeah, good on you. Yeah. Thank you for that tip.
Now, my problem is in my shower, the base where the tiles are, I decided, I don't know why I did this, but anyway, it's a sort of a dark green-grey tiled base, and I decided I think I must have put bleach and something else on it to try and give it a good clean. However, what's happened is it's left like a white residue on the tile, and I can't seem to get it off.
Mm.
You know, I've tried CLR, I've tried various other things, but it's like stained the whole tile. It made it white. So especially when it's dry, when it's wet, you don't see it.
Yeah.
But when it's dry, it's as though you haven't cleaned your shower, the shower.
Yes, okie dokie. That's a bit tricky.
Yes.
Bleach shouldn't damage tiles because tiles are very chemically resilient. However, maybe they aren't very good tiles or something, and maybe
absorbed it.
Yeah, and maybe it's absorbed it. If that happens, all you've got to do is create a permanent wet look. So is this on the floor, is it?
Yeah.
On the floor, that's right. Yeah.
Well, that's tricky because one way around it is to soak it with Mr. Sheen, because the Mr. Sheen creates a permanent wet look with the silicone oil. But
slip.
If it's on your floor, you're going to slip over. So.
Yeah.
So a seal of some sort wouldn't...
But perhaps what I could do it is, do the Mr. Sheen like during the day and constantly keep it wet and then give it a good wash.
Yeah, look, a more permanent solution is you can buy wet look sealers. So if you go to the hardware store or go to Crommelin's in Welshpool, you're after a wet look sealer. So it's designed to go into tiles and bricks. To create a permanent wet look.
That sounds a better idea.
And that should fix the problem.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Mm. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much indeed.
Yep.
See ya.
Okay, bye for now. And we have Kay. Good afternoon, Kay.
Oh, hello, Jenny. Hello, Dr. Chemical. I'm chasing a solution for my sister. She bought a handbag in Paddy's Markets in Sydney, and unfortunately she didn't open it till she got home, and it stinks. The stench is unbearable. So she's washed the lining several times. She's had it out in the sun and she just doesn't seem to be able to get rid of the smell. It seems to be ingrained in the stitching. Any solutions?
What sort of smell is it?
I haven't personally smelt it, but it's abominable.
Like a plastic smell, I wonder. I think it's worse than that.
It just stinks to high heaven, and she's
What's caused that, I wonder?
She's going to throw it away if she can't get rid of the smell.
Okay, it's probably residues in the tanning process.
Okay.
Because, you know,
I think it's a vinyl handbag. It wouldn't wasn't a terribly expensive one.
I was wondering.
It could be leather, but I doubt it. It was just bought at the Paddy's Markets in Sydney. So.
All right, well, cheap and cheerful solution, use metho.
Metho?
So you get metho on a rag, you can put the metho anywhere you want. It won't damage the bag, so just wipe everything in sight. So
as I said, I think it's a material lining. It's not...
Yeah, that's what she's getting at.
The metho won't hurt that.
Material lining in metho.
So just wipe it inside.
Just wipe it liberally with metho, let it dry in the sun.
Then it doesn't smell like metho? When it dries?
The metho will all evaporate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's essentially alcohol. Yeah, it's just ethanol and it will all evaporate.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, it's worth a try.
Worth a try.
Throw it out.
Yep.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
And Gordon, our last call. Yes, Gordon.
Hi, guys. Look, just very quick one. I've got a leather couch that I had a spot of grease off some work clothes on.
Yeah.
I've tried using the leather cleaning wipes and whatever, and all it's done is it's smeared something which is a small spot into a patch about 2 inches square. Now, I did speak to you last year, and you recommended a product at one of the main hardware stores, which is, when I looked, it's actually like an automotive degreaser.
That's right.
And I was just a bit worried that it would damage the leather, that's all.
Yep.
Are you confident that it won't? Is that the degreasing product that you were referring to?
Yep, that's it. The product is Kenco, K-E-N-C-O.
Yep,
that
was the one, yep.
Yep, it won't damage the leather because... Okay. Because it contains alkaline salts and they're ammonia-based salts, and they won't damage anything. You can get it on your skin. You get it on your skin, it won't damage your skin.
Just wipes it on.
Just wipe it on liberally,
And leave it?
Yep.
No, just wipe it with a rag. It should just wipe off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope so.
Have confidence.
I'm up to $4,000 for a new couch.
Oh, you poor thing.
No, you'll be right.
Couches cop a lot, don't
they? You'll be amazed how well it works.
Oh.
It'll just come straight off.
I'll give you his address if it doesn't, Gordon. Thanks for that. And our final call is Noel. Hi, Noel.
Hi, Jenny. Dr. Chemical, written bio on leather.
Yep.
I did ask you, I think when you were on 6PR, I did ask you and you said hairspray.
Yep.
It hasn't worked, and I was wondering if you had another alternative, please.
Yep, okay. Go to electronics place and buy some isopropanol, otherwise known as isopropyl alcohol.
We used to use that to clean our ATMs, yep.
Correct, it's used as an electronics cleaner. That's a stronger chemical than the alcohol in hairspray. That should do it. But what will work better is acetone. Now, acetone will get it off, but it may leave a dull finish on your leather afterwards because it'll strip out the fats in the leather.
We don't want that.
Well, no, it's easy to replenish.
Yes, sir.
It's a football and it's yellow.
Yeah.
And someone's written on it that I didn't want them to write on it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get the... As I said, hairspray was the first go, but it worked partially, but it hasn't got it all off. I'll try the isopropanol.
Yeah, or acetone, and if it takes some of the shininess out of the finish, just rub it with some neat's foot oil. That'll bring
what
it
sort
back.
Of oil?
Neat's foot oil.
Neat's foot.
Yeah,
not heard of that.
Neat's foot is the best replenisher for leather because it actually comes from cows.
Oh, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Neat's foot. I'll have to write that down. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
No worries.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye bye. Mm-hmm. When you say it comes from cows, what from their?
I believe it's from ground up from their hoofs.
Oh, I was going to say. Well, how do you get oil out of a cow?
Yeah. Well, you know, some,
where you get the milk.
Some people think it comes from the slaughter of neats. You know, they slaughter neats wholesale to get the oil from between their feet.
You're kidding me.
It's one of those urban myths. It's an online joke, you know. The slaughter of neats to get neats foot oil.
So where would you buy neatsfoot oil?
Any saddlery oil.
Saddlery.
That's right. And there's one in Newcastle Street.
Yeah, there is. Used to be. I don't know if they're still there anymore. Near entrance to the freeway. You're talking about that? Yeah. No, they're not there.
Oh, okay.
How long have you been driving since you've been driving around Perth? That's been gone for a very long time. Yes, it has. There are others, though.
Yeah.
Now, your website.
drchemical.com.au.
Do it again.
drchemical.com.au.
For any questions you want to put to Mark at all. Thank you very much, as always, Mark.
No worries.
Mark Emicides.